Welcome, everybody, to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato on the phone. He is still in Oklahoma City. I am out in Salt Lake City, where the Thunder has just beaten the Jazz 104-90. Starting off this road trip on a really good note, even though they've been quite shorthanded.
Yeah, I mean, I thought because of the circumstances tonight, I thought this was the Thunder's most impressive win of the season because it's the second night of a back-to-back. It's going to a place where Utah has been 9-2 at home going into this game. And first and foremost, because they were without Danilo Gallinari tonight.
Yeah, we found out today that Danilo Gallinari had suffered an ankle injury, a little sprained ankle yesterday. So at Portland during that game, and the medical staff thought it was best not to play him tonight. So we've talked a lot over the last couple games about the Thunder's wing depth, but they've played with the same two power forwards for the whole season, and then suddenly one of them, the starting one, who also happens to be your most consistent shooter, is out.
Yeah, so first career start for Darius Bazley tonight. He played 26 minutes, and you just saw, you know, Terrence Ferguson is still out, so you saw a first run at this new starting lineup that features Abdul Nader and Darius Bazley, along with the regulars in there, and they played remarkably well, I thought.
They really did, and with this group, the key was really defense. They, and last, granted, like last time that they played Utah, they played them close, and but they got some help from like Conley shooting 1 of 16 that game and stuff like that. So like tonight, you look at the Jazz's final numbers, shot 40.4% from the field, 25.8% from three. And honestly, a lot of that was the Thunder's doing. You know, the Thunder playing good defense and forcing turnovers and really kind of just keeping the Jazz out of sorts for good chunks of the game.
Yeah, and with Mike Conley out, that obviously hurts the Jazz's offense. Donovan Mitchell, I mean, he's still the primary option, but even more so tonight. And, you know, the biggest difference between that season opening loss to the Jazz, you had Donovan Mitchell really got loose there in that third quarter and punished the Thunder in that first game. But you had Terrence Ferguson doing such a good job defending him.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are you going to defend Donovan Mitchell tonight? And you look at his final line, he was 10 of 25. I mean, he scored 26 points, but he needed 25 shots to get there. And 1 of 8 from 3. And I know we talked about him a ton on the last podcast, but Lou Dort. He wasn't the only one guarding him.
No.
I will say that, but he did a fantastic job, like covering Damian Lillard one night, and CJ McCollum, and then turning around the next night, you're guarding Donovan Mitchell
in his second and third NBA appearances. No, I asked Dennis Schroeder like what the key was to guarding Donovan Mitchell, and I meant for him. You know, like I meant for him personally because he spent some time guarding him too, and Dennis was fantastically. Dennis was great defensively as well, but when I asked about the key, he immediately said Lou Dort and started going on and on about how impressive of a job he did. And I asked Chris Paul too about whether he had seen this coming, because they got some time together. You know, Lou played with these guys in preseason, so it's not like he's never played this group. They know him some. He played in four games, and I was trying to figure out a better way to word that question, because a lot of times if you say something like that, it's essentially a leading question and the guy's going to say, yeah, of course I saw it. And
Right.
And Chris was like, no, preseason is mm-hmm. completely different. You don't know what's going to translate, and spoke very highly of the job that Lou's done.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, he had, it's just like there's been no process to like get him used to things. I mean, he played, what was it, 29 minutes tonight. That's insane. Like, we talk about
and played,
with Shea,
played
who's playing every game.
Before.
It's like, oh, he's playing high minutes. It's like, Lou Dort just is yeah. just now, you know, playing his third game, and he played 29 minutes.
It probably,
and he's getting the toughest defensive assignment.
It probably helps that he plays such long minutes in the G League, but he's not guarding yeah. guys like this. You know, like, I'd assume it's more tiring to guard Donovan Mitchell than it is to guard, I'm sorry, I can't name.
Yeah, G League is not known
guard.
For great defense. Let's just say that.
No, not quite. But yeah, he's been really, really solid.
Yeah, and like, it's obviously we know what his strengths are. It's defense. Like, the shot needs a lot of work. Like, he's not shooting it well from three, but I thought at least offensively tonight, like, he's athletic enough and he's fast enough to be like a viable cutter, and like, he got a few easy buckets at the rim, and it's just like, he just needs that energy, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, when Terrence Ferguson isn't shooting well, he can cut to the basket and be smart on stuff like that, and I think he's like, you know, finding ways to at least work his way into the offense, so he's not a total negative on that end of the floor. And just a quick aside, I think it's very funny that the Thunder is like, I think it's from Terrence Ferguson's Instagram, but he's holding up the two after he yeah. makes his first 2 points, and then he had 9 points tonight. So I don't know how long that count will continue, but a career high 9 points for Lou Dort.
I just mentioned talking about Lou with Dennis, but Dennis knew off the top of his head how many career points Lou had. He's like, and now he has 11 points. And I was like, I don't even know that. Yeah, he does seem. I mean, how do you not like a guy who comes in as a rookie and just really makes your job a lot easier on defense?
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, so, that's very true.
Shouts out to Lou Dort and all the things that he's doing. And, you know, when I'm sure after this podcast, you'll be like, I need so much more Lou Dort. Don't worry. We will have a story on him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he's so good. We're going to put his name in the newspaper.
Check out The Oklahoman and Oklahoman.com.
Yes. A necessary plug.
On the other side of the floor, you had another night where you get multiple guys contributing 20 plus points, namely Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dennis Schroeder. But Schroeder, again, oof, was such a spark plug. And he was just... Everything was working for him. He had this fantastic, I wrote about him for my story. I didn't even get this in there. In the first half, I believe, I think it was the second quarter, he just crossed a defender up and tossed up a contested jumper from the elbow, and it was perfect. Like, he was doing stuff like that all night, where it was just like the shots that teams are generally going to let you have, because, you know, lower mid-range shots are a lower percentage in general. Billy Donovan always talks about, like, that's only when they're not contested, this, that, and the other. But, you know, the, like, general wisdom is, like, let guys take mid-range shots, defend on the perimeter and at the rim. But you can't do that when Schroeder and, honestly, all three of the point guards, Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, are making their mid-range shots. And then, in turn, that opens up the floor. And then they can get to the basket. So, varying those shots. He also took some deep threes, too, and made at least one of them. He had three threes tonight.
He was shooting. I mean, I tweeted it, but he was shooting like Trae Young threes out there, like from the logo. It's like, what? This is Dennis Schroeder? What's he doing? Sometimes he gets a little over ambitious, but I mean, he deserved it tonight. He was 100%.
He was played so well, and really picked his spots very well. Yes, we just talked about the heat checks, but like at that point, I wanted to see if he could make it too.
Oh yeah, totally.
I honestly thought that second one that he missed was gonna go in after he drained the three the possession before. Like it did not seem improbable that he was gonna make it from the Vivint logo. he was fantastic tonight, and like I said, on both ends of the floor.
It's the headband.
It's got to be the headband, honestly. So he started out the game. I think he had a couple misses to start the game. And I was like, oh, no. Headband Schroeder, no good. And then he turned around real quick.
Yeah, and it's not just the headband, because he's had a couple 20-point games leading into this. I mean, he's been on fire offensively. A lot of 20-point
games. It feels like almost every game he has 20 points. I know that that's not true. I'll actually pull up how many he has. But
his numbers do seem like they like weigh heavy on your mind. Like maybe it's because of the usage sometimes, but like it seems like every night Dennis Schroeder has a chance to be this team's leading scorer, which is crazy to say about the sixth man, but he's been that good, and like he's scoring from every single level. I mean, he had the threes tonight, which haven't always come. His mid-range game is good. There's this one play that stood out. I can't remember the time or situation, but basically Rudy Gobert had been switched on to him. Donovan Mitchell was on he was on the Jazz's bench, and he was like calling out the Thunder's player, like what he thought the Thunder was gonna run. Mm-hmm. But instead of passing out of it, like Dennis Schroeder, he just like blew by Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year, and just had an easy layup off the glass. And like he is so fast that, you know, when he's shooting the ball well, you have to get out there on them. But when you close out on them, he's just going to blow right by you. And, like, his offensive game is just really coming together quite nicely.
So this is his third consecutive 20-point game. He also – so if we just go back in time. Tonight was 27.
Take us back.
21, 25. 18, 17, 25, 10, 22, 13, 31, 12, 8, 9, 25, 16, 11, 5, 17, 17, 22, 22, and then 3 and 9.
Numbers.
I don't know
like
what was going
spots,
on with those
like,
first two games. But
like 27 tonight, road game at Utah, his 31 was at the Lakers. So he's putting on some shows on the road, and like, I think, let me just ask you this. Do you think Chris Paul thinks Dennis Schroeder is a starting point guard at the NBA?
It's funny you should ask, because he may or may not have mentioned it a million times.
Yeah, multiple times this season.
Every time
Chris Paul
Dennis Schroeder comes
answer.
Up. I mean, he's not wrong.
No,
he's not. I wouldn't go as far as to say
least like there's a solid chunk. I'm not gonna throw out a number, but like yeah, there's several teams he could start,
especially with the way that he's been playing recently. Yeah. And he's done. I mean, there are some nights where he's maybe taking over a little too much, but often those are nights when the other guards aren't shooting well, and it's like, okay, well, if you can go get a bucket, go get a bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he had 21 shots tonight, which was the most on the team, but he made 11 of them, 52%. Like, you'll take that every single night.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He really gave him a spark. He was a big reason why Thunder didn't drop off in the middle of the game, because a lot of those were in the second and third quarters that he scored. And
yeah, third quarter Thunder, geez.
Third quarter Thunder was good.
Man. Really good. And Schroeder was a lot of that.
Yeah. Was that the same quarter that Steven Adams took the charge?
I think it was, yeah. Oh man.
I haven't
You have
written it
to
down.
get into that.
Best. So I had honestly almost forgotten about it. Like I wrote it down during the game because it was an interesting moment. And then post game, he's answering a completely different question, Steven Adams is. And then he goes, however, do you guys see that charge? He was so proud. He was like, I don't like to brag usually, but that was my first one. So first one in his whole career, according to Steven Adams. And I mean, I guess if you're 7 feet tall, you don't really want to fall to the ground that often,
Yeah.
but
It's hard to like, obviously he's not ever flopping, and it's hard to knock him over, and it
yeah.
took someone like Rudy Gobert to do it.
It was at about the 6:30 mark in the third quarter. Yeah, so Rudy Gobert was coming down in transition, and Steven Adams, it was a huge stop. And then I believe, yeah, and then they and then Quinn Snyder challenged it.
Yeah.
And
Man, that would have just crushed Steven
if it
Adams if
got
that
taken
got overturned.
away,
Oh
oh my
man.
gosh, that would have been so sad.
He was just from the broadcast, though, it was so funny. Like he got up and you've never seen someone so happy that he just got like bulldozed. I mean, he like held up the number one, I think, and like he knew it right away that
His
it was
first
his first charge.
one, first try.
Yeah, first try. That's funny.
He honestly did a good job on Rudy all night. He was pretty much the only one who could stop him. It was a little nerve-wracking when not that, Nerlens Noel is a fantastic player, but guarding big body guys who can post up is not his strong suit. He's really more of a rim protector and a guy who can switch on to anyone and all that. Those are his strengths on defense, not so much getting down and dirty, battling in the post. But
Yeah.
Steven Adams did a pretty good job and was able to really get into his body on offense as well, to the tune of 11 points. I mean, he was 4 of 4 though. Like, good job.
And again, that first, it was the first bucket, right? Steven Adams to, I mean, they went right at him to start the game, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, he definitely he was scoring early and often.
Yeah, I mean Rudy. He, as from a statistical standpoint, he had an outstanding night. He was 9 of 10. He had 19 and 17, four offensive rebounds. I think a few of those buckets came on offensive rebounds, like
Little
easy makes at
putbacks,
the
yeah.
rim. Yeah, putbacks. It's not like I didn't get the sense that the Jazz were really like working their offense through Gobert, which. You know, they might want to do when they were shooting the ball so poorly from the perimeter,
Should call up Quinn.
but
Hey, man.
yeah, might want to change things up. No, I'm in no position to give Quinn Snyder advice, but it was a very rough. I mean, we talked about the Thunder's defense, but the Jazz shot 40% from the floor. At 25.8% from three, and that's back-to-back games. Like the Blazers did not shoot well from three, and neither did the Jazz.
There are some real sloppy points too for the Jazz tonight. Not a clean performance.
No, they I don't know. It just seems like from listening to a lot of people who made big predictions before the year. I mean,
I
I
was
was
really high
high on
on
the
them, yeah.
Jazz, and again, it's really early, but like it's like you're waiting on something to click and it hasn't quite clicked. And I think a big part of it is like the excitement of bringing Mike Conley aboard. and just like he's been, like people forget how steady he's been because he was on a couple bad Memphis teams there toward the end.
Right.
But he's just, he was obviously out tonight, but he hasn't been very efficient for them. And you're just like, man, that was like maybe the missing piece to have that point guard, to have that duo with he and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I think we were all saying, oh my gosh, this is one of the best backcourts in the country now.
Yeah.
Before we'd
seen them. Joe Ingles hasn't shot the ball well. Bogdanovich is good. He's really good.
Yeah.
But I still like the Jazz's chances, but maybe
they've got to figure some
maybe
stuff
not compared to those LA teams.
Yeah, I really underestimated the Lakers.
Holy cow!
I'll just go ahead.
You and me both.
Say that now, but yeah, I mean, still good win tonight on the road. Thunder started
Really good one.
The season off losing their first six road games. And granted, they were playing a lot of them close, and I think we were all still impressed with them. But now they're in a stretch where they've won like
four of their last five.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went from 0-6 to 4-1 in their last five road games.
One of those was a bad win. if there's such a thing as
Golden
a bad
State.
Golden State was ugly, but
these last two are impressive though.
The last two have been very impressive. It's still gonna get hard. I mean, back to back is tough. They have a day off tomorrow, but then it's right over to Sacramento, and they're on their own roll.
Yeah. I mean, they beat Houston tonight, and like, but just big picture on this four game road trip. If the Thunder lose at Sacramento and at Denver, I think it's still a success. Like, I think I would not have picked them to go 2-2 on this road trip. Probably 1-3, and they've already picked up two wins that I didn't think they would have.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I said it like a million times as we were leading up to it that the Kings would be their only break, and now it looks like the Kings are just, you know, flying away.
The flyaway Kings.
I mean, you've never
catch them if you can.
You've never called them that before. That's a very, very common.
No, I do.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually gonna work it into my five takeaways after the game. The flyaway Kings.
Please do. but yeah, Kings, and then off to Denver, and they'll have another couple days off, or you know, not playing in between, so that should help to recover. But man, I mean, I'm tired after this back-to-back and
back-to-back tight deadlines. You know,
yeah, tough.
You made
although
it through it, though.
Honestly,
it is tough. I'm not poking fun. No. It's legitimately difficult.
It's been a little, honestly, it's been a little less stressful than our last few games, though, because we're filing at the buzzer, I don't have to write as long of a story. And they've been comfortable wins. It hasn't been these last minute shots or within 5 points. It's like, oh, no, there we go. Thunder's got it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think tonight was, I mean, you could make an argument for Philadelphia or just the comeback at Minnesota or the game at Portland. But like, I thought tonight was the most impressive considering who they were down with Gallinari out. And then like not only winning, but like winning comfortably where this thing was basically decided after that third quarter, which was just kind of wild. It's like the Jazz just did not have a fight in them, and the Thunder were like, it's just like, wow, what is this third quarter dominance that I see?
Right. And we'll have to see what happens between now and the trade deadline, but they might have to get used to playing without Gallinari. So maybe a preview. We'll
and see. let's just say I don't think all of the games will look that pretty with them gone.
Probably not. I'm gonna say that is a very cold take.
Way to give everyone something to look forward to.
Something to chew, right?
Danilo Gallinari.
I just like stomped all over this nice feeling. Like, oh, good.
If you thought this was nice, it's going away.
Say bye. Oh gosh. Yeah, that's how we're doing it. I was gonna give you a chance to save it and like and give the people a happy note.
I think for all the Mike Muscala fans in the world, today was a happy day for them because he also played some meaningful minutes. So yeah, they're happy note to all the Muskie fans.
Yeah, and he got to play alongside Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel because he was playing the four, even though he's pretty much only played center for the Thunder this year. But
yeah, that was interesting to see. I mean, that legitimately could be something we see when Gallinari is dealt.
Yeah. So, and then we're back here again.
Oh, dang, I did it. I didn't mean to do that.
We better wrap up before we do it again.
Ludor. I'll just say Ludor.
Ludor. Happy. Oh, I mean, Mike Leach said something about, he was asked what the best mascot, or like in a fight, which Pac-12 mascot would win. And he was talking about how you had to consider what powers the Sun Devil has, and we're learning that firsthand. Ludor, ASU grad.
That's powerful.
And
we
that's...
should ask Ludor that. Hey, Lou, what powers does the Sun Devil have? That'd be great.
I'll try.
Please make that in.
I'll work on it. They're off tomorrow, so I'm not going to see them. But I'll try pregame in Sacramento, and report back. And with that, thank you for tuning in to another Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your family, your enemies, your neighbors. I need to stop doing that because now it sounds like your neighbors are the opposite of your enemies. It's very confusing.
It's like a morality lesson to end every podcast.
Yeah, your neighbors are your friends, not your enemies.
That's nice. That's good.
Fish.
Your fish.
But not too loud next to their tank. I don't think vibrations are too good for fish.
Very soft noises for the fish, please. Do not tap on the glass.
Oh my gosh. Okay, one more side note. Sorry guys, and then I'll wrap up. Do you see that episode of, isn't it called like Tanks or something, where they just build wild fish tanks? And Jimmy Butler got one in the shape of like a boombox. And it,
what? I have to watch this.
And the whole time I was very concerned for the fish because there was music involved as well.
Oh no.
Something to look up.
It's like tormented fish.
Hopefully not. Sorry, not to, you know, libel you, Jimmy Butler. It was just an interesting episode. So share the podcast with your...
What a weird twist.
And we will see you on, what's 2 days from now? Wednesday, after Thunder at Sacramento.